Colossians chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. This is the reading of God's word. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. Amen. Please be seated. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us, all of us, an ear to hear your word. So when we hear your word, that our faith will grow and we'll be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. And through your word, let us hear the loving voice, your voice. And through your word, let us see what your Son has done and accomplished for us. Let us see what is true of us now in Jesus Christ forever and ever. And let us rejoice and give you all the glory and thanksgiving. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, today we begin our study of Apostle Paul's letter to the Corinthian church. It is the one of those so-called four prison letters. We believe that this letter was written by Paul when he was in a Roman prison. The city of Colossae is a city in Asia Minor, present-day Turkey. At the time of Paul, it was a very small city, not that significant in a worldly perspective. And he was located near Hierapolis. Man, I'm going to have a hard time reading these names here. And Laodicea. And if we were to go eastward from Colossae, about 100 miles, then we'll reach the city of Ephesus. We believe that the Colossian church was not found by Apostle Paul himself. During Paul's third missionary journey, he taught intensively at Ephesus. We read about this in Acts chapter 19, verse 8 through 10. And he entered the synagogue and continued speaking out boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. But when some were becoming hardened and disobedient, speaking evil of the way before the people, he withdrew from them and took away the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. This took place for 2 years, so that all who lived in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. So Paul, during this third missionary trip, he stayed in Ephesus and he taught almost 3 years. And we believe during this time, a person named Epaphras. This is not the same person as Epaphroditus that we meet in Philippians. That this person came to Paul when Paul was teaching 3 years in Ephesus. And this person was from Colossae. We believe that Epaphras became a believer through Paul's teaching. And after learning from Paul, he went back to Colossae and organized the Colossian church.
In Colossians chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, we read, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf, and he also informed us of your love in the Spirit. We believe that Epaphras not only organized Colossian church, but also nearby Laodicean church, and also the church in Hierapolis. Chapter 4, verse 12 and 13 of Colossians, Paul says, Epaphras, who is one of your members, a bond slave of Jesus Christ, sends you his greetings, always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers, that you may stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God. For I testify for him that he has a deep concern for you and for those who are in Laodicea and Hierapolis. So there we could see that this person who started Colossian church, he's with Paul at the time of writing of this letter. Actually, he's with Paul in prison. And chapter 4, verse 7 through 9, Colossians chapter 4, 7 through 9, as to all my affairs, Tychicus, our beloved brother and faithful servant and fellow bondservant in the Lord, will bring you information. For I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of your number, they will inform you about the whole situation here. So according to these verses, then Paul is sending Tychicus and Tychicus to Colossae with this letter he wrote in the prison. But according to chapter 4, verse 9, Tychicus goes with Onesimus. And we meet Onesimus in Paul's letter to Philemon. As you know, he was a runaway slave. We believe that Onesimus ran away from, you know, his home and ran away to Rome. And there he met Paul, and just like Epaphras, he came to believe in Jesus Christ through Paul's teaching. So here Paul is sending two people with two letters. One letter with Tychicus and to that letter to Colossian church, and the other letter with Onesimus to Philemon, who is the owner of Onesimus. Chapter 4, verse 9 tells us that Onesimus was a member of a Colossian church. And when we read the letter to Philemon, a church was meeting at Philemon's home. So if you put all this thing together, we believe that the church that Philemon and his family was gathering was this Colossian church. And Onesimus was a member of that church also. As we know that even Philemon has also learned from Apostle Paul. Thus, when you buy a commentary on the book of Colossians, it usually comes with a commentary on the book of Philemon, usually together, because of this background. And from Philemon chapter 1, verse 23, it says, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you. Like I said before, we could tell that at the time of writing of Colossians and Philemon, Epaphras was with Paul in the prison together. From this, we could see even as Paul is in prison, He was busy spreading the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is so different from us who would give up serving God and serving His church the moment we face difficult times, the moment we face sufferings. Some of us might say, of course Paul is different. He is an apostle. But the Bible does not say that only the apostle must live this way. All of God's people must live this way. And live a Christ-centered and heaven-centered life. And this is God's will for all of His people. What is then the difference between Paul and us? Why Paul could live like this when we don't? What's the difference? Well, only difference is this. His faith is strong and our faith is not. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Notice here that living by sight and living by faith are the opposite things. Many times we live by sight. We live according to what we see in this world. Many times we live as if our lives are all about what to eat and what to drink. Our focus is on this world rather than on God's kingdom. See, God says to seek His kingdom first. But we don't. We must learn that we do not live by the bread of this world, but we live by the Word of God. We live by Jesus Christ. As we have said before, in order for us to understand Paul's writing, it is essential to understand what happened to Paul in Acts chapter 9. We did this before, long, long time ago, I think, when we looked at the 2 Corinthians, I believe. So let me refresh your memory. In Acts chapter 9, Paul meets our resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. See, Paul was going around persecuting the Christians. And we read about Stephen who's being martyred, and Paul was right there as a witness. So he is in charge of even killing Christians. But in chapter 9, this Paul meets Jesus Christ. Resurrected Lord. And the most significant thing that Paul now understands as he sees the resurrected Lord is this. See, Paul believed that the resurrection happens at the end of time because he's a Pharisee. They believe that at the end, the resurrection will happen. And that's when the coming of the kingdom of God occurs. Now he sees the resurrected Lord. He knows that Jesus is dead. But he sees Jesus alive. Now, because of his faith, even though a lot of it is false, he understood that resurrection happens at the end. And he sees resurrection has already happened, that Jesus was resurrected. So in his mind, he has to conclude that the end has come. And yet when he looks around the world, it doesn't seem like the end has come. He doesn't see the kingdom of God already here. And yet he sees resurrection. Now, Paul is very confused at this time. What does this mean then? Resurrection happens at the end. That's when the kingdom of God comes. But he sees it, he tried to figure out by sight, and he doesn't see the kingdom of God. And yet he sees resurrected Lord. Now he's thinking. But it is God who gives him revelation. It is God who gives him the knowledge. He realizes that the kingdom of God then is not of this world. Kingdom of God is not of this world. He realizes that kingdom of God is not something that he will see with his physical eyes in this world. Because he cannot deny resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, he sees him. So he cannot deny that. That means resurrection has happened. And that means Jesus is resurrected and he is the king of that kingdom. So that kingdom is here. So he concludes, then kingdom of God is not visible. All the promises of God is now fulfilled, but nothing is visible to the world. This is what Paul understands, that end has come. The kingdom of God has come, and yet it's not visible. John chapter 18, verse 36, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servant would be fighting, that I might not be delivered up to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm." Luke chapter 17, verse 20, "Now having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, Jesus answered them and said, 'The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed.'" Paul now gets it. And you and I, we must get it in order for us to understand what Paul is saying. The end has already come. Jesus is already resurrected. His kingdom has already come. And yet, it's not visible. If his kingdom has already come, it is already accomplished. That means every promise that God has made in the Old Testament has now been fulfilled. That you, as his church, are the recipients of all these things that God has promised now being fulfilled in Jesus Christ. But see, if you understand that the kingdom of God is here, then you must also understand that this world is passing away. Because heaven and this world cannot coexist, even though for church age it does, they both exist, but eternally it cannot be. When heaven comes, this world has to pass away. So this is another thing that Paul is understanding, that because heaven is here, this world is passed away. And that's exactly what end means. At the end, that's what happens. Kingdom of God completely consummated, and the world is completely passed away. But Jesus comes twice. And we don't know why he did it this way, but he comes twice. There's first coming and there's second coming. So there is this interval. between first coming and second coming, which is the church age, thousand-year kingdom that Jesus Christ accomplishes. And because he comes in two stages, which means he fulfills, he consummates this kingdom of God in two stages. First, spiritually. Second, visibly. But just because it's not visibly consummated doesn't mean it's not here. It is here. It is accomplished. It's just not visible right now. And it will be visible when Jesus comes back. So you are living in an era which is described as already and not yet. Already, everything is accomplished, but not yet visibly consummated. But the fact that the end is here, and the fact that kingdom of God is here, it remains. So you cannot live as if the end has not come. You cannot live as if kingdom of God has not come. You cannot live as if Jesus did not accomplish all these things yet. Because if you live according to the world, and if you follow the patterns of the world, then you are denying everything that Jesus has done and accomplished. You're saying, no, he didn't do that. The kingdom of God is not here. The end is not here. That's why you're still living according to the world. But see, God's design is always by faith. He requires faith. And why is it faith? Because it's not visible. I mean, if it's visible, he will not require us faith. I mean, he shows you and you say, oh, even though I see it, I'm not going to believe. What is that? It has to be by faith because it's not visible. So when Paul writes his letters, when Paul says anything, it's in terms of his understanding that the end is here. The heaven has come and the world has passed away. That's where he begins and that's where he remains. So everything he says, you have to understand all he says in terms of that reality. Otherwise, you do not understand what he's saying to you. And even though I keep saying, Paul says this, it is God's word. It is God who is saying this to us. Paul gets it. And now for Paul, he cannot see, he cannot know, he cannot understand, and he cannot speak anything apart from this reality that the end is here already, that the kingdom of God is here already, that this world, as far as we're concerned, it is dead to us, and we are dead to it, that the world has passed away. The reality of the kingdom of God already being established. Now then, Paul writes everything in terms of that reality in his letter. Philippians chapter 4, verse 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison. So he says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So he lives his life according to what is eternal, not what is temporary. So his focus is always on that heavenly reality that our Lord has already accomplished. Because he understands that the world has passed away and living according to worldly pattern, living according to the world, is foolishness. He says in chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 to 17, therefore, from now on, he says, we recognize no man according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature, new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, the new things has come. This is his understanding. He used to look at Christ in a worldly way. In a worldly way, Christ, to him, to Paul, is a loser. That he tried to start a revolution, but he fails. And he gets captured and he's died. He got killed on the cross as a criminal. Loser. But he says, I will not see him in a fleshly way anymore, not in the worldly perspective anymore. Because truth is that Jesus Christ is a resurrected Lord. He's the King. He's the Master, the Creator. He's God. And not only he's not going to see Christ in a worldly perspective, he's not going to see anything in worldly perspective anymore. Why? Because the old, the world, has passed away. Behold, the new has come. This is Paul's understanding. This is Paul's perspective. This is Paul's faith. You must do the same. Otherwise, you don't even understand what Jesus has done and accomplished. You live as if Jesus did not do anything. That the kingdom of God is not even here. So it's all about the world. See, I always say this to you, right? If there's no heaven, then all that is this world. And if there's no heaven, oh, then of course we have to focus on this world because this is it. This is all we have. Then it will be truly foolishness to forsake this world if this is all we have. But Paul understands and Paul knows that there is another world. There is heaven in which he belongs, that he is citizen of. And there is that heavenly reality which is forever. Who he is in this world is temporary. But who he is in heaven is forever. So he lives by that reality. I mean, it's obvious if you believe in heaven and believe in what Jesus Christ has done for you. But if you just look at the world and what these physical eyes are able to see, if you just do that, then of course this world will be everything to you. And you will live accordingly. That your desire will be having this world. See, that's why Pharisees, that's why Jews rejected Jesus. See, these Pharisees and Jews, they were waiting for the Messiah. And believe me, they understood what that meant. When Messiah comes, he will bring the kingdom of God. And when Messiah comes, the world will pass away. And they will rule the world. The world as we know it will pass away and God will establish world, same world here, as they will be the leader of that world and they will dominate that world. So they were waiting for earthly Messiah to come and establish earthly kingdom so that they could rule the world, so that they could boast how great they are. And here's Jesus. who comes, but he's not bringing that earthly world. He's not bringing that earthly kingdom. He's actually being captured and dies. So people who wanted this world, people who desired to have this world, Jesus Christ is not the one who's going to make them have it. So they kill him. They rejected him. Because they did not want heaven, they want this world. They want success in this world, and they want to have this world. It's all about this world. And Jesus' message and what he says he's bringing has nothing to do with this world. Thus, they rejected him. Just like too many of so-called churchgoers today. They do the same. So the church will change Jesus into worldly Jesus. Change the message into worldly message that Jesus will give you the world so that these people can desire Jesus. No, Jesus never promised you this world. He never did. Only thing he promised you is that you do not have to worry about what to eat and what to drink and what to wear. But sinful people, that's not enough. I mean, what to wear, you know, just enough, you know, daily bread. We're not satisfied with just daily bread. We want more. So either you reject true Jesus or make fake Jesus and receive him. Paul understands what has happened. Because Paul was just like these sinful people. He was all about the world. And yet when he met Jesus Christ, resurrected Lord, everything changes. And this is what Christianity is all about. Once you start believing Jesus, once you meet Jesus, everything has to change. That's what salvation is all about. You cannot remain the same after you met Jesus. That just doesn't happen. We are the new creation, recreated in the image of our Lord Jesus Christ, to witness Jesus Christ and his kingdom that he has accomplished for us. And everything we're going to study in the book of Colossians is all about that. All about Jesus Christ and heaven that he has accomplished for us. Paul is no longer able to see himself and all others in Christ according to the perspective of this world. Paul sees and understands all according to the reality of heaven that our Lord Jesus Christ has already accomplished for his people. Thus, Philippians chapter 3, verse 4 to the 7. According to the world, although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh, Paul says, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. Circumcised in 8 days, the nation of Israel, a tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. Paul says this foolish thing, and he calls it foolish thing because he's bragging about his worldly gains. And he says that if you want to talk according to the world and see who is better, I am better than you. Because everything that world wants, I have already. I mean, at the time, he went to the best college, learned from the best teacher, And he was revealed by so many people. Pharisee of Pharisee. And yet, but whatever things were gained to me, he says, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. And he continues saying that he counts all rubbish because knowing Jesus Christ, that is the true treasure. So everything that was gained to him, he counts as rubbish. And he says that he's willing to lose everything in this world if it means to gain Christ. Because he understands that what he has in Jesus Christ is eternal and far greater than anything that this world can offer to him. It is actually foolishness to live according to the patterns of this world. Because you're holding on to something that will pass away. We must hold on to eternal things that will never pass away. So he says in Galatians, world has dead, it has been dead to me and I to the world. And we must read the Colossians in those terms. Otherwise, we will not understand what Paul is saying to us, what God is saying to us. This is not, he's not teaching us how to be successful in this world. He's actually teaching us how to be a Christian. What is Christian? How to live as a Christian? Just like in other letters of Paul, he here in Colossians also deal with the false teachings that come into the church. False teachings, chapter 2, verse 8, chapter 2, verse 16, chapter 2, verse 18, chapter 2, verse 21, chapter 2, verse 23. So you could see when we get to chapter 2, we're going to learn about all these false teachings. First is Judaism, salvation and blessing by works of the law. Second thing is Hellenistic philosophy. Third thing is Gnosticism. It attacked the deity and the humanity of Jesus Christ. And mysticism, worshiping angels and things like that. And asceticism, the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion and self-abasement and severe treatment of the body. It's a fake holiness. All these false teachings comes in to the church, and he will refute all that in his letters. And let me end with this today. Answer to all these wrong teachings, according to Paul, is Jesus Christ. Once you understand and know Jesus Christ, you will know the truth. Chapter 2, verse 2 and 3 says, the true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So answer to all this false teaching, answer to living according to the patterns of this world, is Jesus Christ. And also, not only Jesus Christ, but his kingdom, heaven. Chapter 3, verse 1 through 4, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, our who is our life is revealed, then you also will be revealed in Him in the glory. So it is answer to all the false teachings is what? Jesus Christ and heaven. It's so easy for you because it's such our church's name. Christ and heaven. This Christ and heaven, they are the answers for everything that are wrong, that are sinful. So again, why did God give us Colossians? So that we may know Jesus Christ. So that we may know His kingdom. So that we will desire and seek Jesus Christ and His kingdom. That's the purpose. It's all about knowing Christ. The knowledge and the wisdom that will enable us to know Christ. That's the reason that the Bible is written for us. Any other things is not according to the Bible. Paul's life was all about witnessing Jesus Christ and His kingdom heaven. Paul says it like this in Acts chapter 20, verse 24. But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. It's about knowing Christ. And Bible is written so that you may know Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about it later in the letter. See, there is knowledge and wisdom of this world. But Paul says that the most precious treasure that we could possess is the knowledge of Christ. You know, just look at what people do to gain the knowledge of this world. The knowledge of a doctor, you know, how to do surgery. Knowledge of computers. Do you see what they do to gain that knowledge? They go to colleges. They go to school for many, many years. And they devote most of their lives learning, gaining those knowledges. But what about knowledge of Jesus Christ? How much do you spend? How much time do you spend to gain that knowledge? Is it really precious to you, knowing Jesus Christ? Because we cannot fake this. If it is precious to you, you will put some time into it. It's guaranteed. Because you do that in every other things in this world. If it is precious to you, you will put some effort and time. How precious is the knowledge of Christ? How much time and effort do you put in to gain that knowledge? We cannot serve God just by our lips. Lip service is not something God is pleased with. We must live it. And in order for us to live it, we need to know first. And that's what I pray that all of us will gain from looking at Colossians, the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Thank You for Your word. Because it is the only thing that will teach us Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, every time we gather to study Your Word, we pray that Your Spirit will be with us, that He will teach us, He will make us understand, not only understand, but to believe, and not only to believe, but to obey. Oh, Father, bless Your people. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.